everyone. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And thank you for joining us for part two of our most recent episode on the ARC, Building the Future of Regenerative Communities with Murat Amirov. And if you haven't watched part one yet, go back and check that out. But essentially, the ARC is this really fascinating regenerative eco-village in Santa Teresa, Costa Rica that my wife and I came across about a month ago. And we wanted to interview Murat just to share what his vision is and what he's actually in the place of creating. There's a lot of people are really looking at how do we change the way that we are doing all sorts of things, whether that is looking at how do we change the way that we do education, how do we change the way we do business, how do we change the way we do healthcare, and essentially how do we change the way that we're living so we are more in alignment with nature. And this is really at the heart of what Murat's been building out in Santa Teresa, Costa Rica, which is really quite phenomenal. So in this section, we really hand it over to him to share with us how do we avoid the traps of just recycling old systems that we're really not wanting to pay attention to anymore and do something very unique? What can schooling look like in the future and with a new model for that for our kids? And he really starts to share with us how the ARC is unique in this world of different eco-villages that are being, or sustainable communities that are being developed. What does he really mean by regenerative communities? And how is the ARC unique in this regard? So we just jump right into it where we left off, where I'm asking a question, and then we just go right into it. So thanks again for joining us, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I'll see you soon.
Murat, you said something really important there too, because when just in that little story where you're talking about the marketing manager was kind of bringing it back. When we talk about these systems, because we've had a similar conversation around this, it's like when these old systems have been running for a long time, and that's really everybody's kind of just backdrop. And even a lot of people you work with, that's still their backdrop. Because like you said, we're in this bridging time where we're, you know, these new systems are evolving. We're in many ways, I think we are creating new systems in new ways that we don't even know exactly what they're going to be like, while we're still kind of bridging from these old systems. When you're in the process of creating everything with the ARC, what do you feel like you need to be really well aware of so that these old systems don't start to just trickle in? Because, you know, I've seen different sustainable, you know, quote unquote, sustainable communities that I think even have a good intention. But at a certain point, it seems like these old systems find a way to get their tentacles back in, and then it becomes this same old thing. What do we need to be aware of to really, like, self-check? You know, how do we self-check as we keep creating?
As we even keep purifying the energy of the money, you know? That is work in progress at this time, too.
I believe it's true, you know. It's very hard. I was doing an exercise literally like a couple of weeks ago, talking with AI. And actually I want to think that kind of there is a balanced relation now there, but I was like ping-ponging ideas, and This was one of my major concerns as well. Like what we are doing now is with an example of the ARC, right? Like how to do it so that it truly stands for what it says, and it's like it's not getting. And you know, it's so true that we all, I'm including myself in this, we all are to some extent, we don't know where we're intoxified. Like we might have identified something and we identify it, we clear the pattern, go away, right? And like, and we regenerate this with some new ideas. But we don't know yet, right? Like there are some things on the surface, like money, education, healthcare, like these things which are like now very tangible. But there are so many layers, and I believe self-awareness is definitely the, like, you know, asking hard questions of like, where is the intention coming from? And also to be heart-centered, which is was very hard for me, it's becoming easier and easier and easier. And I believe we all have this internal voice where, while living in Kazakhstan and working in politics and government, I was sometimes thinking that I was crazy. But living now in this environment, I'm like, oh, finally, yeah, I understand why I had this voice. And also, you know, I believe that it's going to take certain personalities. And I don't want to say that these personalities are somehow given or whatsoever. Like, I don't want to there is no ego connection to this. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, oh, there are those saint people. It's not about that. It's just, again, like, you know, it's, the universe just like has its, like, the agents of change, and these agents of change are acting. And these people just have to do, they carry certain role, and this, and at some point this role is going to be over. And then there are other people who will have different roles, and then they will pull the slack even more. And for me personally, my main question in this was like, I want to create the arc as we are implementing sociocracy, which is like leading by circles, you know, and like, and in my gene keys, my profile is exactly this. I'm like, my shadow is dominance, but my gift is synergy, and the highest expression of my authentic self is communion. And an interesting meditations that the founder of this teaching is doing, he says, you're exactly the profile, and if you stay in your shadow, why the world as it is now? Because you are the power holder of the world. Your shadow is dominance of a man of a woman, rich over poor, few over many, you know, like a man over nature. But if you maintain yourself in the gift, which is like in the heart centered, you're the one who is here, who came here to destroy hierarchy and to bring heterarchy to the world. And every time, and this self-awareness, if I wouldn't finally personally find this teaching, I wouldn't have the base, I would just have the feeling, you know. And this teaching really helped me to realize that every time that I feel that my dominance comes out, because this shadow is always in us, I'm like, ah, why there's dominance talking? Why? Because the fear is crippling in, right? Like I'm trying to dominate it because I'm afraid of something. How would trust act? How would love act? Love actually would share. But at the same time, it's a funny thing that, as you say, like we cannot blindly trust, because true soul that many people, we all, again, like somehow still at certain level on the frequencies of that fear, of that like kind of capitalism, of that thing. And I believe it takes us, in our personal case, in the arc, I just said that like I'm going to take 7 years to be the leading voice here. And after 7 years, I'm going to resign, and we're going to put it as a policy. And after 7 years, we're going to transition to the stewards governance, like the stewards board. And I'm going to be in this board, but for the 7 years, I'm going to be the captain of this ship. Because there were so many people who could, the baby, which is the arc, I refer to the baby very much. It's a 4-year young baby. So like when you think about a baby that is 4 years, you know, it's still not aware enough. It still doesn't understand the concept that like, oh, you can walk with any adult anywhere, because the child is like, oh, it's like any adult, like, you know, I can come and like, mom, what are the intentions of this adult? You know, there are many questions still. There is no yet awareness. The child of 7 years, they're already like, no, I cannot go with whomever. Like, I clearly identify people who care for me. So it's the same, like 4 year, he's still running, he's hitting, falling, right? It's still like, you know, crying, and it's still a very young, this kind of, but it's a transition towards a very mature stage already. So that's how we personally practice it. But then it takes, honestly, a person, whoever this person is, in this case, it's me, humbleness. It takes understanding that you're not just even a human, but you're just a part of the universe that is just unfolding. The things are just happening through you. It's not you. And it takes yeah, just like understanding that you constantly have to come back to your heart. I'm very fortunate to find love just very recently for the first time in my life. I realized how does it when I'm 42 now. And for the first time in my life, I feel what is love rather than I think what is love. And this is, I believe, also the part, the grand part of the universal plan, why I needed that in this particular moment, because I was honestly desperate with understanding. I was like, wow, I'm lost with it. And I believe that feeling is just like fuels myself, and it allows me to make the decisions from the right place. And now I have a second voice, a woman voice, a soft blanket around me that gives me the perspective which I would never ever understand myself as a man. And I believe it's like to be as heart-centered as possible and to execute with your head. I read it today and I really loved it so much. I was like, said, take decisions with your heart, execute with your brain. I was like, so easy, but so true.
We did an interview one time, and the guest had said something along those lines too. He said, you know, we often live in a world where this does so much of the work. And he said, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it needs to be infused through the energy of the heart. And we don't do that. We usually start here. And if we start here and let that imbue up and then inform the brain, then it's a very different story. And then it can be a really, really useful tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you were actually 42 when we were married.
Yeah.
So
that's beautiful. That's, yeah. How long ago was that?
Well, it was like 12 years ago now.
12, almost 13 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I just turned 54. So,
yeah. Beautiful. Well, congratulations to you. I'm excited to see what more even starts to grow from your end and your circle. And as far as what you're offering to the world, because as far as the ARC, for anyone who's not familiar, it's a community that Marat has envisioned and is creating. And there's a large piece of land, like you said, over 200 acres.
Yes.
And it was deforested, I think, in the 1960s.
It was deforested in 1966.
Okay.
I'd love to pass that over to let you just explain the concept of the ARC, because we've talked about pieces of it, but maybe an
overall. Listeners going to be like, oh, thank you. Finally, after 1 hour of a conversation, we're going to understand what it is.
Come to.
Yeah, 1 hour.
Well, the ARC, it's a regenerative village. It's an experiment of the future of a human settlement. So with an idea that humans are going to move back to nature, the proposal of the ARC is like, so under which conditions are we going to move to back to nature? And I personally believe there are three stages in this, right? There are cities which industrial revolution has moved us toward to, like where we were forced to go to the cities because of, you know, so many different reasons, economical, first of all. Then many people started feeling that this life was not for them, and they started creating eco-villages, in intentional communities. And this movement started pretty much even already in the 80s, in the 90s, and, you know, it was developing so far. And this eco-villages movement was like an interim phase towards what comes next. Because they were also like, they were rather a reaction towards an offense, let's say so. So they were like kind of protective mechanism. Like, oh, I'm not fitting into the conventional system. I'm going to go and be this kind of hippie in the jungle, right? So like I'm escaping from the system. So like we're like, now I believe this regenerative villages is the answer to this. So like, you know, so what are we consciously creating as the next stage of human settlement? How humans, or like one of the ways how humans can live, and this is not a disconnection from the world, which very often intentional communities or eco-villages were, but rather taking advantage of the old system, because it's still going to be there, right? It's not going to be like, you know, this complete collapse and then we start from a new blank page. It's going to be there it's going to be just evolving. And but how can this can be connected to that, take advantage from the even technological advancements and what's on, and at the same time to bring us back to nature and to live in this unity with nature and with each other in harmony. So therefore, it's a 200-acre property, which is divided into individual lots where people buy land and build their houses. We are 88 residential lots, so eventually we're going to be between 150 and 160 houses on the land. You know, people can build several dwellings on the land. And what we are trying to do, or what we're doing, we want to become a blueprint or an example for the future projects that are going to be inspired by us.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And to help those projects to avoid the mistakes that we're doing and to take our learning and to help them to set up similar or somewhat similar projects to us. So we are built on 5 guiding principles. They are health, equality, autonomy, regeneration, and togetherness, which are together is an acronym of HEART. So we say like we make all our decisions from the heart. We encompass a permaculture farm. It's a large farm. Well, eventually it's going to be a farm of 6 hectares or 15 acres. We have a center for conscious learning. And in general, the main proposal of the ARC is how economical activity can be entwined into the whatever eco-villages have created up to now. Because normally eco-villages are either the same. There are two ways of eco-villages, right? It's either real estate development, when there is a very clear axis of execution, very often investors. So it's like a real estate development sugar-coated with ideas of intentional communities. Or, and this is like an extreme, right? So it's just another real estate development. Or there is like, let's just us gather friends and we just buy some land and we're just gonna start living. And it's like kind of a household kind of, and you know, like all of this, like homesteads, you know, some like 6 families gathered together, bought land and they built their homes and they live happily ever after, which is great, right? It's an amazing concept up to like then somebody moves out and somebody randoms buys land there and you're like, oh shit, now we had to have a governing rules and how we're going to solve because now this this guy is banging parties every day, and we actually not, that's not what we five families committed to. So my idea was like, how can we create this this model of the future human settlement where a lot of things are centralized, but more than anything, how can we intertwine economical activity into what we're doing as an ecosystem? And we call the Ark as an ecosystem. So we created economical redistribution within the ecosystem. So it's a regenerative economy principle when we are redistributing more than 30% of the profit among the people who purchase the land. So therefore, we all are entwined into the collective success of the whole. And aside of that, we're giving 10% to the local population here. We're giving 10% back to the team, giving 25% back to the Costa Rican family from whom I purchased this land. And yeah, this land was deforested in 1966. And it's an interesting, if we just a little bit of a story of a history of regeneration, right? Like how it can happen on the governmental level. So not many people know, but actually Costa Rica experienced the largest deforestation rates in the world between '60s and '80s. And this is exactly the example of how when we put economy as a main driver of everything that we do, leads to the collapse of the rest. So because the United States started experiencing this economic boom after the war, the '60s, right? And then like people started affording to eat meat, and meat was like one of the things, like, you know, the showcase of a success of a family, let's say so. So United States started importing meat from Latin American countries. So Costa Rica became their main business became, because they were like, we have to sustain the country somehow. So they started gifting lands to the families, and they incentivized them to become cattle ranchers. So a lot of families deforested lands in Costa Rica. And Costa Rica lost more than 50% of all their forests due to the deforestation between '60s and '80s. What has happened is that in the end of the '70s, Costa Rica started experiencing droughts and their ecosystem almost collapsed. So then the government realized that they made a mistake, running behind the buck, right? Like, because that was just like, had to happen. So then they realized that they made a mistake. And in the '80s, in the beginning of the '80s, they took a decision to reverse back the deforestation, and they implemented the idea of regeneration when they started paying now to the farmers not to deforest those lands and to maintain the kind of carbon credits, but not as they were not existing at that time. So they started paying back to farmers not to deforest the land, and they started incentivizing farmers to reforest back. And they started protecting the land. So that's how we know Costa Rica as the first country that reversed deforestation. So the Costa Rica, as we know it, has actually appeared after the beginning of the '80s. Before, it was in a complete ecological disaster. And this is a great example of how same humans can deplete and how they can regenerate. So I believe the story of the Ark is this. It's not like blaming or not finding who is guilty, but accepting that we as humans are imperfect and we just grew through that. That was a necessity, a necessary stage. But now, knowing that, I always say, like, you know, it's an obligation for us to understand the patterns, but then it's a crime not to act against them. So when we know and we don't make action, then now it's a complicity, right? And this is I believe what's happening now with the Ark. It's just like we are showing an example how a project like us, like, can move toward depleted land. Our land was deforested in 1966. For 60 years it was a cattle range, so our productive layer of the soil is less than 2 centimeters. It's very depleted land. When we took the land, when I just found that we had only 13 types of different trees, now we have more than 300 types. And this is another story of regeneration. It's a simple example how last 2 years, when we implemented the first water body, the only for now, the fresh water body, rainwater kind of water body, we hold 1 million liters of rainwater on the land, and we made like a pond which is a completely natural pond without any artificial insulation. And the speed how the regeneration has happened, where we did nothing, we didn't reintroduce species, nothing, but how it changed so quick, how large birds have came back, or now foxes came back, we have deers, we have jaguarundis, we have so many different animals that we did nothing. We just brought fresh water source. And on the farm, obviously, and the farm launched all the process. So like the, nature can do the work for itself if we create the conditions conducive to life. And this is regeneration in the simple terms, right?
It's so true, Murat. And it totally makes me think like, I think of it like health too. It's like you correct one big log in the fire, and all of a sudden it's like an array of different symptoms that you think are driving you crazy all start to disappear when you correct like your diet, or you drink more healthy water, or whatever it might be, something really simple. Like you're saying, you bring back fresh water source. I mean, that's a big log in the fire. You correct that, and all of a sudden, so many other things start to correct themselves. I want to ask you a question. When you were talking about the ARC, and you were talking about even like with a redistribution of profits back to the community, is the how does the ARC create profits? Is that through the farming? Is that through the organic farming, or is that the main way, and then through how that gets outsourced?
Well, first of all, I think I forgot to mention the ARC doesn't have investors, so we don't have influence of outside capital. I sold everything that I had in order to start this project. So I believe, and this is what, when you know, when you ask the question, I believe also what it takes a personality. That's what I said, like, right? It takes a crazy one who's going to do it, who's going to be like, okay, I'm going to risk it all. Or a great philanthropist. I wish I had more money, and that it would be so much easier to do this thing. The ARC, and that's when I believe like the proposal of the ARC as a model is this, like, how can we as a collective generate financial wealth at the same time thinking on and taking care of the general health as well, like, you know, planetary health and whatsoever. So we're creating different income streams. So we're pretty much, you can look at us as like a land-based enterprise. And I know it's very weird to think about it like this, but that's when we build for generations and not for speculation, that's how we have to approach it, right? Because we all want to live in a beautiful world where we all have like an infinite financial wealth and we just can buy beautiful properties and just live there. But let's be honest, right? It's very rare a case. And we have certain funds and we want to make smart investments at the same time, right? And I really love how you said it about healing the relationship with money and like and money energetics, because it's truly so, like, how can we put our money into, like, we're voting with our money for the future that we want to see in the world, right? And for us, it's how can we create a successful enterprise which is going to have a headquarters, which is in our community, our village, with our by the policy, there are not going to be more ARCs in the world. We all believe that infinite growth on the finite planet is impossible, and this constant growth is the reason of the problems, right? It's like the human greed. So there are not going to be more ARCs in the world, but we're going to create different activities with the ARC. So like we as a collective and with people who are aware and of whatever is happening and of ourselves, how can we create and be of service, and therefore to create more income streams that are going to serve the ecosystem, and this ecosystem is going to give back to all the participants of this ecosystem. So this is farm, yes. This is Arcadia as a center for learning. This is we're planning to open an integrative clinic. So this is all ARC that is functioning as hospitality concept. So people can come and stay at the ARC. We have a centralized service when we give people, whoever purchases the land and builds their houses, when they rent their house, or we give them this, we give people this service, and this, we charge certain percentage, and this certain percentage, which is 20%, it's a standard rate of the market. And then this 20% go into the general fund, and this fund is redistributed among all neighbors. So practically, you're benefiting from every rent that is happening within the ARC. And we are planning to open, we're now, I think in October, we're opening it already, a music recording studio. So we are planning to create an accelerator. We don't like the word that's accelerator. I'm very conscious about words, and I realize that we're so poisoned with words. So, but somehow, you know, like when we say school, you know, like you have to say it so people can relate. Otherwise, people are like, what? So it's the same. Like we're planning to open an accelerator for regenerative startups. Also to create a connection between kids, like how they're going to grow through Arcadia and how they're going to go into the world and what they're going to create with it, with their lives, right? So all this is contributing to the whole, and this whole is an economical activity of the art.
The Inspire Health podcast will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
The cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I love all that. That's beautiful. I really love the, because I feel like that's, like Ted said earlier around purifying the financial system, it's like it really is trying to figure out how do we clean this concept of money so that it can be put into right action again.
100%. I so agree.
A great limiting step for so many people at this point in time on how do you create this, because that, you know, that still becomes the rate limiting step for a lot of places. So it's like when you can start to figure out how can you be of service and how does this all kind of collectively work together? I love that. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think also like how can we see examples of more conscious capital, right? How is it not even now, like more, even more now with Epstein files. I don't follow the story, but whichever name comes up now, definitely there. And like we realize that all people with money or power are now somehow marked with a black marker, right? And it creates, in me personally, it created long ago, not Epstein file, but other examples. I realized up to very recent age of mine that I don't have examples of a conscious capital. I don't have examples of a rich person that is a good person. Let's put it simple, right? And it was, I was like, no wonder that I suffered No wonder that, because I internally, I obviously there is a sabotage going on, because like, how can I want, I, like if you stick to, if I stick to my values, which is integrity and congruence, and I still want money, but my consciousness understands money as an evil because there are only evil representatives of it, obviously there is not going to be a flow, right? So it's also our collective healing that we have to go through, right? And that it's, first of all, and this is again, this is a regeneration of economy, right? Regeneration of business. So like, that's when I said, like, you know, we have to apply regeneration to so many different spheres. And to just simply give also example to our kids, right? Like when I started this project and I said that where I'm going to give back 25% of this, of everything that we're generating to the Costa Rican family from whom we're getting the land, people said like, you're crazy. This is a quarter of your profit. I'm like, yeah, I know. They're like, give them 3%. This is fine. I'm like, yeah, but that's not the point of like to have a beautiful idea on the PDF. The point is what truly is going to create, because they have this, their family has this land for 60 years. It's not that like this is their last land. They have other lands in Costa Rica, their businesses, cattle raising, but doesn't matter. It's not like, you know, we're not here. I'm not here to judge who is right, who is wrong, or what is fair and what is not fair. But I am here to decide what decision makes me personally to sleep calm at night, because I know that I've done something correct and honest with what I, where I could held the power of the decision. And you know, and this is, I think, like when kids are going to see this and they're going to like be like, okay, so if this is the normality, so whatever I am as a little kid, whatever, like, you know, going to be doing, I know the examples of like, you know, hey, these guys are doing this and they're doing it great. They have people, guys, that the feeling that the, this Costa Rican family from whom we got the land, that every time then they come to the land, we are hugging, they have zero resentment of doing it. And you know, whenever like people, when projects like this are coming, when capitalism is talking and capitalism is deciding, and then they misplace local population, and then there is so much resentment because people are understanding that they got screwed on the way. And then there is like all the hate towards a foreigner, and there's so much happening right in Costa Rica and all, a lot of Latin American countries where, like, you know, people like a white person with money came, let's say so. And when this family comes and we're hugging and we're sharing a meal together and we're laughing and we're walking in the land, they feel that they're coming back to, this is still their home. And this is priceless for me. Like, you know, I always measure my actions of like, if my physical existence finishes tomorrow, how, looking back, like, what, how will I judge my own life? And my own life is going to be judged by like the decisions that I made. Were they honest and that were they like aligned with the largest, the world that I want to create? And I believe this is part of that. And again, like, you know, my objective of doing what I'm doing is not to buy yachts and Rolexes. It's all good. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. You know, we're actually planning to buy a catamaran for the Ark because we have like so many beautiful things here. So we're like, hey, we all love sailing. Shall we do it? And like, actually it's going, it's apparently it's a great business. So this is another business that is going to feed the ecosystem of the Ark. And we have a hospitality concept. So we're like, now I'm looking into like sailing license and we're like, okay, we're going to get buy a catamaran, but it's not about for me buying a mega yacht and having it in Saint-Tropez, you know, it's about how can we create this ecosystem? And like, I don't, as long as I am living at the life of, at the level of the life that this is, like, you know, and we eat clean, which is not very complicated with our own farm. But when, you know, my kids, I don't have kids now, but my kids are getting the education that I want them to get, which is not very complicated. You know, and we just like, you know, live at this good quality of life. What else do I actually need? You know, it's like, I don't need to stack up my bank account because, like, you know. So, yeah.
We were actually just reading. Yeah. Are you going to mention that?
Well,
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were just reading something you just mentioned around need, and I think this was actually in
really timely.
Paul Selig's book and Alchemy, and we've interviewed him several times. Really wonderful author, but he was saying, or the guys that said that, how did they specifically say it? It was around the idea that wanting anything more than what you are, what your current requirements are, is actually living from a place of scarcity and lack.
That's because, so true.
Because you're not
content.
You're not satisfied, and you're always kind of preparing for
it. I love this so much. This is so good. Wow, and thank you.
We've also been conditioned to believe that, you know, success is having a certain amount in your bank account or a certain amount of stocks, or, but it's like, if we really, what you're speaking to, if we really have what we need at the time that we need it, is that not abundance? Is that not just exactly what we require? And is that not suffice? And it's, you know, Murat, when you said that you don't have children, I wasn't aware, and you're already creating an education system or a pod for children. I'm really excited for you to have kids.
And when you were talking about even living from the heart, it's like, just wait for that. That's like,
I can imagine. I honestly can. And you'll be surprised, but I started this because I was like, eventually I'm going to have kids if it's supposed to happen. But where I'm going to have kids and which system of knowledge they're going to grow, which food they're going to eat, which lens, more than anything, is important, which lens they're going to receive, through which they're going to look at the world, right? And this is so important, right? And I was like, I just realized that there was no such place, and I can't imagine them growing in a conventional system. And I also don't imagine them, honestly speaking, growing in an intentional community commune of hippies. Like, no, with all my respect to hippies. But it's not who I am. And I love the comfort. I want to be, I don't want to be like depending on technologies, but I also don't want to be a Tarzan in the jungle. But I want to have skills of a Tarzan, and I want to have my kids there. But I don't want them to live like this. I don't want to live like that myself. I want to travel. I want to enjoy art. I want to be cosmopolitan. But I also like, I believe that the main idea is like to live in nature and to live with nature, synced with nature. And honestly speaking, like, people, when look, they see me now, they're like, you look better than you looked like 10 years ago. I'm like, thank you. It's like, but this is what living in nature does, right?
Now, when you speak of the ark and you talk about ecosystem, I feel like it's such a funny thing, because everything that is being handed through within their agenda of the powers that were is a synthetic replication of things that are naturally happening in nature. And so, like, you know, the 15-minute cities that they've been trying to roll out and create throughout the world, well, here we are talking about the ark, which is a microcosm of the macrocosm, isn't it, within your community. And it's like this template that you're putting out, and that, you know, call to us to speak of and share with our community, and I'm sure it's going to create ripples in other ways as well, is going to echo in larger ways that we're even aware of. But by you taking having the courage and the fortitude, and maybe the how did you word it? You said that not the craziness that is even needed sometimes to take the leap and make such decisions like this, where it's like, okay, all in, I feel strongly about this and I'm going to create this, is going to start to create, maybe even activate others in ways that we're not even aware of. But, and however messy it's going to get, because we've heard of, what are the communities called? They're more called, what are the other terms for it? It's not regenerative communities, but how we've heard of it.
Sustainable communities or conscious communities.
Conscious communities. We've heard of it going awry and not going very well. But I feel like we have to keep trying, because the other systems that are in place are really not for the benefits of humanity. So whatever this sort of time that we're moving through and all the stuff that is coming up to work through and to purify through, we have to keep going. And we have to, you know, if something messes up, we have to have the fortitude and the integrity and the honesty to show up and say, okay, well, that we fucked that one up really bad. So how can we do it differently? How can we make it better? How can we refine it? We have to keep at it because we ultimately have to create a different way than what is being shown to us.
I agree.
And I think we keep getting inspired too.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the fuel, I think, a lot of times for us is it's like, even when it gets hard, or when you get tired or when you don't know what to do, at a certain part, there's something pops in that just inspires you to, all right, let's just do this next piece and see what happens.
Definitely. So we really hope to, for our listeners who are listening in, and I know there's all walks of life, from the parent to the sibling to the business owner to the health practitioner, keep looking, keep searching, and also keep spending time in nature, in quiet, in stillness, within the seat of your own heart, and see what is speaking to you. And as much as you see the outside world and all the systems that are falling apart and driving you crazy because things that seem to work before are no longer working, what is it ultimately calling within you to create more of? And as much as we say no to those systems that control and coerce, what are we then being drawn to say yes to? And we must show up to that. We must stand up and say, I'm willing to take that step, even if it involves risks, even if it involves facing my own fears. And so we share this conversation with you and have this beautiful discussion with Marat in order to rekindle that excitement within your own heart, so that you can awaken to your own set of instructions to live out in this beautiful world of ours.
Marat, where can people learn more about the ARC? Where can they go where they can actually maybe see some descriptions of it, look at the properties, sort of get a better feel for it?
And how many lots are still available as well? Because you spoke of...
We have 47 lots available still. Okay. We just passed the threshold of our previous stage that got sold out. Now we stepped into a new one. There are three more stages that are on the way. And I always say that the best way is to come and to meet us in person and to see us and to visit us. So if people go online, it's thearc.world. This is just like to come and stay with us for a week to experience what is Santa Teresa and to experience also, like, you know, to participate in the events that are happening in the ARC, to, like, you know, put your hands into the soil, eat from the farm, just hang out, just be in this environment. That it's very healing.
We're going to be doing that next time.
We
actually love Santa Teresa. It was, we came over from the Nosara side, from the Nicoya side to Santa Teresa, and it was so much more lush and green, and it felt like you were just being hugged by nature, and it was such a beautiful environment to be in. So next time we're in your neck of the woods, we'll definitely be doing that as well and getting in, because we love gardening and growing things ourselves.
It's been a big project since we've been here on Vancouver Island, was really recreating a big area for garden. We've planted probably over 100 trees, fruit trees. I mean, it's been...
And the area is just half an acre lot that we've been stewarding. So it's amazing what more is possible when there's more land to steward and take care of. So
yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah. And where you can grow stuff almost all year round.
All year round. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say. Like Vancouver, you have natural constraints, like a serious ones.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you exciting. So much. We appreciate your time. Even though you weren't feeling the best, we very much appreciate you speaking with us.
Thank you so much. This is so great.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. Thank you. So